God. And very thankful that we can expect to feel his presence and to be blessed by his power and to be encouraged by his word. Praise God. Our series on prayer continues with Solomon's prayer of dedication. And quite impressive when you look at the week-long or however long it was of dedication and the amount of sacrifice and the results that came in the presence of the Lord. The focus verse bears out some of those results. And, you know, this is what's so encouraging about serving God. If it was just study and memorization and church attendance and, you know, the whole aspect of like being in a club, paying your dues and fellowshipping with one another and planning dinners and fundraisers and stuff, that would be one thing. But the powerful element of God's presence is what makes it so awesome to serve him and to be blessed by him. And this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:1, bears out the power. The fire came down from heaven, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Praise God. That would have been incredible to see and to recognize God is blessing by his power and his, not a benediction, but his pleasing presence as a result of the prayer has been displayed. The focus thought bears out God honors our prayers of dedication to him. Amen. And so portions of 2 Chronicles 6, also 2 Chronicles 7, we'll look at here. But dedication is a good thing. People are dedicated to their career, dedicated to their job, dedicated to their hobby. It's a good thing. Be dedicated to your marriage, dedicated to your family. And that only improves when you're dedicated to the Lord. It doesn't get harmed. It doesn't get detracted. The Lord blesses when we are dedicated to him. And we pray dedication prayers. We dedicate new buildings. We dedicate new babies. Praise God. The song Sister Glover sings at those dedications. We dedicate this temple to you, Lord. Amen. Use it for your service. What a holy purpose. Amen. And thank God we can dedicate ourselves to him. Now, prayer, we know from the truth of the plaque and from our own experience, prayer changes things. But more accurately, prayer changes us. And that's, you look at Jacob, when he, and it's really a unique picture there for Jacob to have sent his family on. He's returning home to his father, and his brother Esau is coming with not exactly a welcoming committee, 300 armed men. It looks like a war party. And he's, of course, very concerned. So he sends his family on in two different groups. He's already sent gifts on ahead, and Esau's still coming with his welcoming party. And Jacob crosses the brook, and he wrestles with the angel of the Lord all by himself. And that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? You and the Lord. And the Lord changed the circumstances, that's true. Whatever Esau's intent was to begin with, it turned out to be indeed a welcoming. But what changed was Jacob. And His walk changed, his attitude changed, and just a whole bunch of good things that came as a result of his time of prayer. And thank God we can experience that powerful change that the Lord brings in our lives as well. The tabernacle was the means of focus and gathering and worship as the people traveled through the wilderness for those 40 years. And actually quite a few years afterwards as well, because you have King Saul, King David, and then finally King Solomon, who would build the temple. So it was quite a while that the tabernacle was in use, and that was the place where they worshiped. Can you imagine the 40 years that they journeyed, and every time the pillar of cloud moved, they disassembled the tabernacle, and then when the cloud stopped, they reassembled that tabernacle. Imagine you are part of the workforce that does that. It would be quite a task, wouldn't it? Because that tabernacle is approximately the size of our church building. So all of those sockets, all of those goat hair panels and so on, it was quite involved. Sister Glover and I were on the trip a few years back with the Wagners and the Aidens down the Big Salmon River for 10 days. And every day, except for one, where we stayed 2 days in one place, we took down camp, all of the tents, all of the cooking equipment, loaded it in the canoes, traveled all day long, got to our campsite, and then put everything back up on the bank, tents back up, cooking supplies and everything back together again. It gets pretty busy. And so these workers with the tabernacle, no doubt, felt pretty involved. So when the temple was finally built, then that ended. There was no longer the transient nature of the tabernacle that was involved. But prior to that, remember, the ark was captured, and Eli lost his life, and the second generation after him was born and named Ichabod, and it was a dark day for Israel, a defeat that came to them. But the defeat was not limited to Israel in that hour. Remember, the Philistines put the ark in their temple of Dagon, and they had to pick poor Dagon up the next morning because he fell on his face. And they put him back in his place and dusted him off and made their sacrifices to him in prayers and whatever, and made sure everything was good, and went out of their temple of Dagon and came back the next day, and he's on his face again. But this time his head and his hands are broken off, and the power of God to be displayed. Well, the Philistines didn't like that, and so the ark was moved. It was moved from Ashdod to Gath, and then to Ekron, and they're trying to find a place for the ark of God. Well, it belonged back with the people of God, not a bunch of idol worshipers who simply wanted to add it to their collection. No, they needed to understand this was the power of God. So they decided, because of the detrimental things that were happening to them, that they would try to get rid of it. And so they took it to Beth Shemesh and Kirjath-Jearim, and there it stayed for 20 years. And then we have David determining, I'm going to bring the ark back, and we have the tremendous story of them walking six paces and stopping and worshiping, David dancing before the Lord with all his might, and that beautiful story of bringing the presence of God, or the symbolic presence of God, back to the people of the Lord. So honoring the place of God, the presence of God, was with their focus and what they desired to do. Look at the scripture text, 2 Chronicles 6 and 14. And see how that they are focusing on giving God glory and lifting him up. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth. And they definitely exclaimed how great God is and how separated he is from all the others that might be called deities. And they went on, which keepeth covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. And that pretty much sums up what Solomon had determined and what he was going to do, his focus upon how God would interact with them and how the power of the Lord would be displayed with his mercy and with his power. And so Solomon would focus on God's faithfulness, God's covenant, God's word, and he would offer his prayers based on that aspect. Verse 17 is not part of our scripture lesson, but it says, Solomon declaring, let your word be verified. Praise God. Aren't you glad the word of the Lord can be verified in your own experience? We can read it in the word of God. We can see what Solomon experienced and all the people of Israel and the glory of God coming in such an amazing way. But I'm thankful the word of God can be verified in your life, in your experience, and your walk with God. The power of the Lord being available to us as we reach out to him. And the absolute certainty of God's word increases our faith and brings us an element of worship that exceeds just a simple perfunctory or routine kind of, I guess I'll worship the Lord for a while. No, man, an excitement, a thrill, and a recognition that his word is powerful and that we can wait upon him and know what he promised is going to come to pass, and that power is going to be displayed again and again. Praise God. And the Lord promises a passage in Psalm 89:33. He's talking about his blessing coming to the people. He said, my loving kindness is not going to fail, and my faithfulness, I'm not going to allow my faithfulness to fail. Thank God. And it's that kind of commitment that God has to his word that we can trust in. And that's why the word of God tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's that interaction of faith and that interaction of the power of God, a strong dynamic of God and his divine power, bringing about an increase, a boost of faith that we have in his word. Praise God. And the wonderful presence of the Lord that that the people of God treasured. And Moses declaring, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going to go. Amen. And that is the power of the Lord. And I can remember praying that 27 years ago. Amen. And wanting the presence of the Lord in our move from Ketchikan to Sterling. And thank God his presence has ministered in a powerful way. And David demonstrating his focus and how as a king, as a conqueror, mighty in battle, all of these things, He would narrow his focus down to one thing. And he would say it in Psalm 27:4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." And what was he focusing on? "I want to dwell in the house of the Lord." Praise God. And you remember from Psalm 23, that's how he ended that psalm about the Lord being his shepherd. And all the elements of blessing that he outlined there with the Lord leading him. And he said, "I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And here he is reiterating that and saying, that's the one thing that I'm not going to let go of. Praise God. And praise God. That's our determination as well, because of what the Lord would make known as far as his eternal presence and what we can be blessed in. Praise God. So, a portion of Scripture prior to what we see here in chapter 6, chapter 7, in verse 5, or chapter 5 rather, 2 Chronicles, it's interesting that it names 120 priests. Where do you see that number, 120, again? Amen. 120 priests couldn't even stand in the presence of God because it was so powerful. It was so great. And then also in chapter 7 and verse 2, again, they couldn't even minister because of the power of God. They couldn't even enter in. And that dedication brought the presence of the Lord. It's no wonder that the 120 in Acts chapter 1, the disciples, Mary, the mother of Jesus, his brothers, his sisters. You know, you stop and think, the motherly care, the motherly concern, the broken heart of that mother some 50 days before, and then the resurrection. Oh, my, how incredible that must have been for Mary, the mother of Jesus. But now, here she is among the 120, and they're all in that upper room praying, worshiping, making supplication, and suddenly, thank God, the Lord fulfilled his promise. And that's the blessing of the Lord. The same dedication, or the same kind of prayer, dedication, and God again came with his power and with his presence. I'm thankful that we can pray a prayer of dedication again and again and have the power of God come in our lives. Amen. Think back to when you received the Holy Ghost. Think back to when that happened for the first time and you spoke in a language you did not understand. You made sounds you didn't recognize as words. And thank God, the power of the Lord being displayed in such an amazing way. You may have been young, you may have been old, but God's promise includes both. You may be a man, you may be a woman, and God's promise includes both. I'm thankful that the power of the Lord is available to everyone, and the goodness of God is shown again and again. So Solomon is front and center with prayer. By the way, I'm on emailing list from the National Day of Prayer. We send a small offering to them every year because we definitely want to promote prayer for the country. And I was a bit surprised, I guess, would be one way to say it, as well as a little disappointed that the last email I got was instructions to pastors on how to pray. And I'm reading this. I'm trying to think, there are pastors that don't pray? There are pastors that need to be taught how to pray in front of their church? And, oh God, Thank the Lord for prayer, and we know its power and the blessings of the Lord. Praise God. So if those pastors need to be taught how to pray, that's good. That's good. Let them step into that realm of prayer even more rather than just a professional presentation of a social gospel. But to recognize the spiritual dynamic of what God can do. Amen. And the blessings of the Lord. And so David, or rather Solomon, begins with praise. He lifts up the Lord. He recognizes how powerful and how great he is, his glory, his power. And he's magnifying the Lord. That's a good way to begin any prayer. Remember that hour of prayer that we use sometimes, and there's five-minute segments, and it begins with praise, ends with praise, and it's just a good way to come before the presence of the Lord, to give honor to him and exalt him. And then there's repentance, and repentance is good, because even though you may not have done things that you used to do, or you have not done things that the Lord would be displeased with, we still ask him, Lord, forgive me for not believing you like I should, for not trusting you like I should, for not claiming your promises like I should. Remember the tabernacle, as they approached the tabernacle and they stepped in through that outer entrance, what was the first item of furniture that they came to? What did they see for as the first, furniture? I guess what was it? It was the altar. Then the brazen laver, where they had to wash before they could enter into the holy place. And then from then on, it was just awesome for what the tabernacle represented. And by the way, the outline or the form of the items of furniture that were in the tabernacle or in the shape of a cross. They didn't recognize that at that time, but we do now because it foreshadowed what the Lord was going to do and how he was going to make the way for man to truly be in the presence of the Lord. But repentance, as long as there's sin, repentance is not going to be old-fashioned. It's not going to be outdated. It's not going to be irrelevant. It's definitely going to be a part of where we are. And then the problem is that there are some today who plan their sins ahead of time and their failures ahead of time and then just say, well, or almost live by the creed. It's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. And we don't want to operate in that format, because that doesn't bring honor to God. Fall, get up. Well, we do rise, praise God, but the Lord's power keeps us as an overcomer, and we step into the presence of the Lord, praise God. And I'm thankful he continues to offer the forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, the amazing promise of the Lord, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us. Look at those two divine works, to forgive us and to cleanse us. Praise God. Because the devil will come with his condemnation. You know, his tactics are well defined, well honed. He's very good at the temptations and the deceit and so on. And so if he tempts you to sin and you do, then there's condemnation. And he knocks you down. If you don't sin, then he builds you up. Oh, you're so strong. Oh, you're just so spiritual. And pride then becomes the problem. The devil is very tricky. So we've got to be on guard. But if we do have a problem, well, again, we confess. And like Proverbs, what is it, Brother Greg, 28:15? It says we confess our sins and forsake them. Amen. And we're going to have mercy. So here, God's mercy is extended to us, and he brings blessing. Praise God. Tremendous blessing. And how exciting that would have been to actually see the glory of God come within the temple and the fire come down on the sacrifice. But we've seen it spiritually time and time again. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the power and the presence of God, the strength and the touch that God brings in our midst. Amen. I'm thankful that he hears and answers the prayers that we bring before him. Amen. And his presence being so awesome. You don't have to raise your hand, but let me just ask you from the standpoint of just the thinking. Have you found in your prayer experience that the blessing of God that came to you as you prayed all by yourself, nobody there with you, you were just calling on God all by yourself, have you found that that blessing and that presence of God was greater than any of the other experiences you've had? God can do that. And it is amazing. Now, we obviously love the opportunities to come together in God's house and camp meeting. And the ladies just back from a tremendous conference. How wonderful and how powerful those times are. Amen. And thank God that we can enjoy them. But it is amazing to know the power of God. Elijah, for example, he's downcast, he's depressed, he's even wanting to die. And he's in that cave, and there's an earthquake, and there's a great wind, and there's a fire. But God speaks to him in that still small voice, and that's what gives him power to keep going and fulfill the will of God. Amen. Thank the Lord that God still answers prayer and does a tremendous work. So the personal relationships that were dealt with in Solomon's prayer, the neighbors, he prays about justifying the righteous, prays about enemies being defeated and so on. And he prays about a relationship to God. We want to walk in your ways, Lord. And unfortunately, they were up and down in that aspect. And then he even includes prayer with the foreigners, because they are the people of the name. Nobody else knows that powerful name, but they do. And so they're praying for the foreigners, for the strangers, so that the name of the Lord would be what is revealed, and others would likewise experience that power of God. Amen. And thank the Lord that there would be all of that aspect that God could cover. There isn't anything that the Lord is not able to do. Now, there are foolish things that people want to talk about and get all caught up in. How did we get here? What brought about the solar system? And, you know, just a whole bunch of questions that are not going to be answered in this life. And then doubt the existence of God and come up with a lot of other explanations as to how things came to be and evolution and so on. Well, you can teach evolution as a theory. I have no problem with that. Just explain to me, where did the slime come from to begin with? And where did the you know, how did the amoeba come out of the water? Who made the water? And all of that sort of thing. And then, you know, the questions about, well, where did God come from then? And where's the end of the universe? And all of this stuff. Well, we're not going to know that here in this life. So I just need to determine I'm going to deal with things that I can know. Amen. And the presence of the Lord is what we can focus on. And then I can pray to him, and I can be specific with my needs. My requests can be pinpointed. And I think the Lord likes for us to pray that way. In Isaiah 41 and 21, he says to produce your cause. Bring forth your strong reasons. And he's offering that opportunity to us. And certainly in prayer, we need to follow through with that. And Lord, this is what I need your blessings on. And here are the reasons and so on. And not that we're trying to talk God into our way, because we definitely end every prayer, not my will, but thy will be done. But we're focused, praise God, and we want the blessings of the Lord. And to be specific, Lord, save this whole town. Well, that's a good prayer, because he came to seek and to save the lost. But how about if you pray, Lord, lead me to someone that I can teach your word to. Lord, let there be visitors that come to the house of God, and let me bring them so they can feel your presence. God, let me come in contact with somebody today that I can set up a Bible study with. You know, be specific, because I believe the Lord can answer that. Amen. And oh yes, Lord, save my neighborhood. Lord, save everybody in this school. You know, you can pray like that. But I think the Lord delights in you being specific and having his blessings. Now, it's also good to pray, not just a Lord, bless what I'm doing, but to pray, Lord, help me to do what you're blessing. Amen. Because that fulfillment is the power of God and what he wants to do. And thank the Lord. Solomon would offer this prayer and the power that came as a result of his prayer and his desire to see the blessing of the Lord come forth in a tremendous way. So, dedication. A prayer of dedication. They were dedicating the temple. And it was that temple that David had accumulated all of the materials, or the majority of the materials, the gold that would be plating everything that they made except the brazen laver, and the gold shields that Solomon would put up there. It would be wonderful if the history of Israel was untainted, no changes except for greater power and greater glory. But we know Rehoboam lost those golden shields, and he replaced them with bronze shields. And Ezekiel and Jeremiah, all of the other prophets that are there, point out the the terrible things that were going on, even in the temple. And it was later in Josiah's reign, the boy king, who was having the temple cleansed, cleaning it up, sweeping it out, and the priests coming with the report, "We found the law." How did it get lost in the first place? And to Josiah's credit, he calls the people to a prayer of dedication. and they read the law, and oh my, the revival, the things that began to change. Don't feel like there's got to be something beyond the Word of God, or new and improved, or updated, or more relevant and more powerful. There's nothing that's going to take the place of the Word of God. Nothing. It still works. It's still going to be fulfilled. God's still going to confirm His Word with signs following. Amen. And we dedicate ourselves to following that Word. Lord, I want to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto You, which is just my reasonable service. Boy, that flies in the face of what the world wants you to do, or what the world wants you to be, and the pressures that society will level against you to fit in with its fashions, to fit in with its format, and what families should be like, and the whole gamut. But we're not marching to that drumbeat. Amen. We're following the Lord. So we dedicate ourselves to Him and be that living sacrifice. Praise God. And our families, thank God we can determine we're going to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I know there are situations that sometimes come up that change that, but for the most part, we're going to say, time for church. We're going. I'm remembering an incident that one of our preachers told about where a 15-year-old in a household was being recalcitrant as far as being ready to go to church. And the preacher, Brother Jeff Arnold, I don't know if it was him or if he told the parents to say, tough luck, you little creep. Get up. We're going to church. That's real spiritual. But that 15-year-old needed to know. You're not going to lay in bed here. We're getting up and going to church. I don't know if I'd recommend that approach to everybody. But our families, praise God, we're going to be together in the house of the Lord. Our possessions, we want to use everything for the glory of God. Amen. And thank the Lord. You can bring somebody to church in your vehicle, little ones, old ones. Families, you can make time to go and pick them up and bring them to the house of the Lord. You can invite people over to your house and have a Bible study. A lot of you host share group meetings. That's wonderful. Amen. We appreciate that because you're using your possessions for the things of God and the blessings of the Lord. Will be there as well. Amen. It's sad that our society has changed from 50 years ago when, material things were really starting to become available. And material things became more and more of a focus. And now, my goodness, keeping up with what everybody's doing in society requires two incomes and working three jobs and all of that sort of thing. And I understand sometimes the economics just require that, but help us, God, to put You first. Amen. Because the salvation of your family is way more important than the devastation of your family because you're gone all the time. And That's the important thing. I remember James Dobson telling about buying a swing set, a slide, years ago. I guess they didn't have the formed plastic ones at that time. He had the metal one with a whole bunch of bolts and nuts and washers and instructions that are about 4 pages long. And you take part A and put it with part B and so on. And he said it took him the greater part of an afternoon to assemble that swing set with the slide and so on. And then after he got it assembled, he read the rest of the instructions, and it said every so often, I can't remember what the interval was, maybe weekly or monthly or something, check all of the nuts. Make sure all of them are tight. Make sure everything is in working order. And he finally stepped back and he said, "Do I own this swing set, or does this swing set own me?" That's the way we've got to look at our possessions. And make sure we're on top of the ownership aspect, and that the Lord is supreme in the one who owns us and everything that we have. Because salvation, that's got to be the primary thing that we focus on. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose? And lose his soul. That's, oh my, supreme foolishness to make that exchange and lose out in your place with God. No, I'm going to dedicate myself. Praise God. Just like Solomon would make that dedication. We determine, all right, I'm going to be dedicated to the Lord. I'm going to put him first. I'm going to walk with him. Praise God, and be what he wants me to be. Praise God, because he fulfills his word again and again. He provides the answers, the blessings, the strength. He brings the healing. On and on it goes. Praise God. Why shouldn't we dedicate ourselves to the Lord and everything that we have, everything we are? Praise God, because of the blessings of the Lord that are so powerful and so real. Amen. A living sacrifice. That's a contradiction, isn't it? A paradox. How in the world can a sacrifice be living? You're supposed to kill a sacrifice. Well, in some ways we recognize we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, Paul said in Galatians 2:20. What do you mean you're crucified with Christ, but yet you live? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. What an incredible interaction of faith that he is demonstrating there. And crucified with Christ so that we can be dedicated to serve his purpose and to do his will. Praise God. All right, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And we want to hold the Wades up in prayer. They're doing better. And we thank the Lord for that, but they still need the blessings of God to minister to them and to help them. Praise God. Sister Mary Ann recovering from surgery, doing better, still a lot of pain, but God is blessing. Amen. Thankful that Brother Mike is recovering from his surgery. And we trust the Lord to continue to do the work. And oh my, the specter of sickness is definitely present. Here's the list. Sister Denny, Catherine, the visitor that we had last Sunday, and her girls, Sister Stella, Sister Eva, Sister Esther, Brother Jordan, and I'm sure that there's more that we could add to the list. The sickness is still going around, but we're going to rebuke it in Jesus' name and trust that there's going to be healing that will come forth in his power. Praise God. Stand with me today, if you would, please. the Wades, Sister Marianne, Brother Mike, amen, Sister Denny, Sister Stella, Sister Eva, Esther, Brother Jordan, Catherine, and her little girls, praise God. I hope her husband is home tomorrow from Red Dog Mine, and a Bible study, praise God. Trusting that's going to happen, in Jesus' name. Thank the Lord. Anybody else you know of that's not well?
Oh, I just wanted to mention the Gileans also.
All right, the Gileans. Pray for them. Yes. Oh, my. All right, and we'll pray. In Jesus' name. Yes. Oh, my. Yeah. Yeah, she definitely needs a touch from God. In Jesus' name. All right, let's pray. Ask the Lord that he would put forth his healing hand. Thank you, O God.